Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark's record of Jesus' ministry in chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. There were other boats with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already beginning to be swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep. And they woke him up, and they said to him, "Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he woke up, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and the calm, and became calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And then they were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Oh God, this morning again, we open our hearts to you. May that still small voice of yours speak to us today. And may these words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God. Amen. Staying in a storm-tossed boat. Staying in a storm-tossed boat with Jesus takes trust. So who's in your boat these days? Today I have two stories about unexpected and wild storms and about staying in the boat with Jesus. One is of a Christian family in desperate financial straits. The other one is about a progressive Christian pastor, teacher, author, who recently wrote the book entitled A Stroke of Grace. This morning, we are being invited to connect how these two stories illustrate the story of Jesus and his disciples in this massive storm and Paul's exhortation for us to look at our troubles as a means of achieving for us a deeper and more vivid picture of Christ. So we are invited to connect the dots between our uncertainties and seeing Jesus in everything. So Allison and her husband, Dan, they served on InterVarsity staff overseas for over 20 years. They raised their own support. They ministered to college students, teaching them how to follow Jesus and lead others to Christ. In 2008, they moved to their home in Connecticut to begin a new investment fund that was owned entirely by a Christian charitable foundation. And by the end of the year, like many in 2008, they experienced a financial collapse due to the failing economy. And she says, "I saw our jobs disintegrating right in front of us, day by day, and our kids' lives were being disrupted again after just having moved from another country. And I saw this coming financial train wreck, and we were about to become poor." She continues, "I believe that God is good all the time, and I knew that Jesus was with us and that the Holy Spirit was active, and the Lord delights in rescuing and blessing his people. But from day to day, over the ensuing year, I fought with myself over the fear. What I knew in my head about God's purposes and commitments and his help and hope conflicted sharply with what I saw and felt in my body. I felt more limited than I could have imagined. What started out as a chance to do something for other people shifted into a season of the unknown, waiting to see whether God would do something for us. And this fear, this waiting, was internally exhausting. The constant internal conversation, the anxiety about what was next, the friction between what was hoped for and what is real is so overwhelming." She continues and says that anticipatory dread climbed from my gut into my throat regularly, daily, sometimes even hourly. And then this phrase came to my head, "Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat." In our passage today, Mark tells this story about this boat and a storm, where evening had come and it was dark, and there's this massive storm comes up out of nowhere. Waves break over the side of the boat. The boat's nearly swamped, and for a minute, it looked like Jesus was out of it, that he was unaware. He was asleep in the boat. He appeared to be unaware, and the uncertainty of it all bothered them. It seemed like he didn't care. And so this wind howled about them, and it took water into the boat. And disciples, like normal people, they got scared. They were afraid for their future, and they even said, "Jesus, don't you care if we drown?" And Allison said this same thing. She says, "What I really wanted to say was, come on, Jesus, we're drowning here. I need God to intervene and save us. We need something. We need everything." It's really kind of counterintuitive, but this crisis, this unprotected, frightful moment, this storm, this fear, the surprise, is actually what bumped the disciples into seeing Jesus clearly. The crisis, this unprotected, frightful moment, this storm, is actually what bumped the disciples into seeing Jesus clearly. This moment of fear becomes the moment of clarity because they stayed in the boat and they looked to Jesus. Here's what Paul says about the same thing in a familiar passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, that we're perplexed, but not in despair, we're persecuted, but not abandoned, we are struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Faith is staying in the boat and seeing Jesus in our boat. So who's in your boat these days? Our second story is about a guy who had a massive stroke and how he came to see Jesus and how he came to an eternal glory that has transformed him and all those around him. His name is Dieter Zander. He's a young progressive pastor in California who received a vision to plant a new kind of church back in the 70s. It was a Christian community that was called New Song. It was kind of like the first Gen X church in the United States. After several years, wonderful years at New Song, Dieter accepts a position to go on to be the teaching pastor at Willow Creek, which is a world-renowned megachurch in the suburbs of Chicago. And then suddenly, with no forewarning, on the morning following the Super Bowl in 2008, Dieter suffers a massive stroke in the left hemisphere of his brain. And this stroke puts him in a coma for about 6 days, and he almost dies. In the years that have followed, Dieter's life and his career have been turned upside down. Extensive therapy has allowed him to regain some of his physical abilities, but the stroke erased his nearly unequaled skill at the piano. And yet the greater disability is his continuing struggle with a common communication stroke-related disorder called aplasia. This condition frustrates and it significantly limits his ability to write and to speak, to plan, to think, and to express his very creative, thoughtful, wise, and insightful self. And if you were to visit with Dieter, you would witness him struggling to find the place in his mind where his words and his ideas would connect at the same time and come out the neurological pathway to his mouth. His face and his lips struggle as he labors to form vowels and consonants of single words. It is painful to watch him exert such effort, such a strained effort. Communications with him are routinely full of incomplete sentences and scattered thoughts and irregular repetitions. Those who suffer the effects of aplasia can struggle to apply linear reasoning or proper grammar or common parts of speech. So Pastor Dieter wrote that his stroke produced long agonizing months and years of this crushing isolation from all others, except Jesus, except for Christ. Let me read you part of his transcripted interview. Before the stroke, many years ago, when I planted New Song, God gave me a vision that was very bright and loud. It was very dramatic. And then later, while we were praying about going to Willow Creek, I knew that God was nudging me and prodding me to go on. And then later, when we were thinking about leaving Willow Creek, I knew that God was giving us a choice. But after the stroke, there was a long time when I could not talk, and I didn't know if I would ever talk again. I didn't know. My future was unclear. Saying my own name became very hard. Nothing was coming out. I was actually stuck in my own mind. And there was a time after the stroke that I was living with friends in this little shack in the back of their yard for months, and I was alone. And it was there that I realized in that little shack in this backyard that my family was suffering, that my job is never coming back, and my ability to work and to earn is gone. I can't lead, I can't sing, I can't pastor, and I'm thinking, I'm done, I just want to die. And suicide ran through my mind, and he continues to say that he couldn't even talk to people. He felt like he was finished, that they didn't understand me. And he said, I am so very, very lonely. Everything that I thought was important and essential for my life has been stripped away, and I am left totally bare. And it's in that shack that God speaks to me, and he says, Dieter, I love you. And I realize that it's not my leadership or my singing, it's not my performance or my special projects that God loves. Because even when all of that is gone, God tells me, just as I am, alone and nothing to offer, no skills, nothing to give, that I am loved. Now I know that God loves me, just as I am, and that's grace. So even though I couldn't talk anymore, God was talking to me, and I was talking to him. And we were talking a lot. And now I know his voice, and it's not in the loud, spiritually dramatic. It's not necessarily in the bright lights, but it's God's voice quietly talking with me. And I look forward to that, he says, every single morning. It is the best part of my day. Now it's God and me together every day, and everything I do is worship. I see God everywhere and everything, and when I work and when I do the trash, when I cut up cardboard and clean and restock the shelves, and when I talk to people, I am worshiping. And I see God there, and I'm a student in his class with God every day, and I love where I am. I love my stroke. I love my stroke. Every morning, Dieter Zander gets up early so that he can begin his job at 4:30 as a janitor at the local Trader Joe's store. And he gets up even earlier to spend time with God every day before going to work. And he waits expectantly in God's presence. He says, every day I get up in the morning, and before I get up, I talk to God and I listen to God. I am his sheep and he's my shepherd. I know that he's going to take care of me. I know this. Every day, God gives me everything. And I'm not brave, but I am just living in the reality of God as my shepherd. I am a sheep following God. And that's all it is. It's really simple. I'm on a path that I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that God is good to me and that I can rest in that and rest in that tomorrow, no matter what, because God's with me. And life is simple now. And simple is good. It's very real. And we could say it this way, that Dieter Zander has decided to see and to trust Jesus and to stay with him in the boat in this new reality in his life and to see who's in the boat with him. Jesus does not always deliver us from our struggles, but he does always and every moment delivers us in our struggles. Faith is staying in the boat with Jesus and trusting him. So who's in your boat these days? Are we willing to stay in the boat and to trust Jesus? Paul says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Could it be that our difficulties, actually these crazy storms, these uncertainties that come up out of nowhere, could it be that these are the very things that produce within us a new perspective of Christ that's life-changing and has eternal significance? Do you think that's why James tells us to consider it pure joy when we go through trials of various kinds? Because it's in these troubles and difficulties and tragedies, uncertainties, that we become transformed into the people of deep faith, a people with deep faith and deep peace who have a deep joy and a deep contentment and a deep dependency upon the person of the Holy Spirit. We stay in the boat, and we stay with him. And he does care, and he can deliver us, not only from the struggle, but in the struggle. Faith is seeing Jesus in the boat and keeping our eyes on Christ and remembering that he is in the boat with us, letting him do in us and through us whatever he chooses. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you and we offer you the pieces of our lives and the struggles and the uncertainties. We ask, Lord, that you would put them together and that you'd make them into something beautiful, O God, to do what you alone can do and what you're the best at, that you would redeem our circumstances. So God, we praise you, for you're our Redeemer. And none of our pain or uncertainty is ever wasted when we give it to you. Help us to see you, O God, in a new way. Amen. So the psalmist David puts it like this, and we will close with this, that God is our refuge and strength, and he's always ready to help in times of trouble. And so we do not fear when the earthquakes come and when the mountains crumble into the sea. We look up to the hills where our salvation comes from. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, giving you his peace this week.